Oh, speaking of the Eras Tour, have you seen it?
I've not.
Oh.
This is what's the name? Twisted Sister? What is it? Taylor
Taylor
Swifter?
Swift, you were close.
Right. I knew I was close. I was
Planes,
like,
Trains, and Automobile Airplanes.
Lanes, Trains, and Leslie Nielsen. I want to do you a favor this week. You have been doing a stellar job with that opening spiel, the opening intro to the show. I want to take it off your plate. I want to do my best to, because I've never tried it before. I'm interested. I'm eager. I'm really excited to give it my best shot. Okay. Let's just gonna focus. Yeah.
Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok at Avengers Podcast. That's one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You want to support the show? Throw a dollar our way, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. A dollar goes a long way with supporting the show and keeping the show alive. But I'm just one of your hosts. My name is Keith. Wait, no. My name's not Keith. My name is Brandon, and here are my two co-hosts. Emmy, how you doing?
I'm ecstatic that I didn't have to do that time.
That is awesome. Oh, Keith, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm ecstatic to see you. I'm just happy you're back, my friend. I'm just excited to talk X-Men with you.
I have truly, beyond words, missed you both so damn much. I am so thankful to be back with you guys. I love you both. Thank you for your generosity, your graciousness, your time that you allowed me. I love you guys to the end of the moon and back, maybe a little further, but not too much further than that. But yes, seriously, you guys mean the world to me. I'm happy to be back and talking X-Men 97. And I picked this episode when Cyclops is not around. What the fuck? Jeez. Anyway, if you have not watched X-Men 97, episode 4, what's the title of this episode? There's two titles, I believe. There's like...
It is Motendo / Life Death Part 1.
Life, okay, so Motendo and Life Death Part 1. If you have not watched that episode of X-Men 97, please don't listen any further. We are going to spoil it right away. And I already spoiled that Cyclops isn't in it. So, yeah, kind of a middle finger to you if you're...
Darn.
Yeah, sorry. My bad. Anyway, we're spoiling it. So leave now. We're here. We're here. Cannot wait. All right. Diving in. First off... I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this one because I get to be a listener and then I get to surprise and yeah. So I'm going to let Emmy, my friend that didn't have to do the intro. Hey, I want your thoughts on Motendo and Life Death Part 1. What did you think of this one?
All right. I really enjoyed the double episode, but one was, I feel like I got to say it, complete fan service. It was only to touch on those member berries, as you like to say. It was only to just like, hey, remember that? Hey, remember that? Hey, remember that? I'm not mad at it because I know that people out there enjoyed it. Was it for me? Maybe not. I still had fun. I still had a good time. It was still pretty. And I liked that it left the second episode on a cliffhanger that absolutely dropped my jaw. That was like, what is happening? I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's an illusion. I don't know if it's a hologram. I don't know if time does not exist, but it's like, I know nothing. Jon Snow.
I love that take. You pluck my member berries and I'm going to be super, super happy. So little spoiler into my thoughts. Keith, what did you think of this episode?
I liked this episode. It's my least favorite of the four, but that doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy it. I would say that the breaking up into two halves and telling two stories in the runtime of 30 minutes did kind of a disservice to both halves in a way, but not in a drastic way. It felt kind of like I was watching Looney Tunes. It was like, it wasn't given either one time to breathe as much as they could have. But I get it. They got a lot to cover, and they are not holding back with the speed in which they are storytelling in this series. I love the member berries. You're absolutely right. I mean, this episode very much is just nostalgia porn. Not in that way. It's still forever all ages, but the fact that we don't see characters like Longshot or Spiral very much in what could be a broader Mojo verse kind of episode was it wasn't super disappointing. But I know the Jubilee fans are going to be a big fan of this episode. Getting to see all that video, the original arcade game, and getting to see all these little nuggets like that was really cool. References to Tron, references to The Matrix. And then the Life Death Part 1 was awesome, and it's kind of like the tease to what I'm really glad to see. There is another episode. Part 2 is an entire episode length, and it comes out, I think, on the 17th. So I'm not mad about getting a little like preview to a longer episode, because that's the story I want to see more. That's going to follow the comics very closely, I would imagine, if they're, seeing what they've done in the past. In 4 episodes already, they are very much into telling stories that haven't been told before from the comics. So I'm stoked. I'm very excited.
Well said, both of you. Completely agreed on both fronts, with a slight disagreement there. Keith, like, I loved Rugrats growing up, and they had like 15-minute chunks every single episode. So this was right up my alley. I was like, fuck yeah, give me more of this shit. My attention, my ADHD brain is like, 15 minutes, please. That's all I got. So I loved that take in this. First off, I'm just going to give some broad thoughts on the show. So far, it feels X-Men, but just fresh again. It feels old but familiar and fresh, new takes. I'm shocked how well this cartoon's working so far for me. I really am. I did not expect it to get as serious as it's gotten. I don't know if the original cartoon, I have not watched the original cartoon in a few years. I did watch the first season maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but I was probably drunk on my couch when I was watching it. But it was, I think when Disney Plus first came out, I was like, fuck yeah, I'll watch X-Men. But I really don't know if it was that heavy when we were kids, or it just feels heavier now, or both. Who knows? But I just love this story that just feels so well thought out and well fleshed out. The characters, the artwork is so fun. The X-Men song, I know you guys have talked about the theme song, but if you don't want to run through a fucking brick wall after hearing it, who the fuck are you? It is such a damn good track. I cannot wait to hear the Marvel Studios, an actual X-Men movie, with that theme song, because they're going to play it and it's going to be fantastic, similar to the Spider-Man song in Homecoming. It's going to really be off the charts. I love this episode. Motendo. That is a Sega Genesis with a Nintendo logo on it. Big video game fan here. And I agree with Jubilee. If you don't like video games, you're probably not good at them. And she's spot on. I love video games. They're fucking wonderful. Amy, do you see things? Are you good at video games? You won a game of Fortnite for us.
I did. And I showed that clip recently, but I wasn't raising my hand to talk. It was that I am that person. Mm. I am not a huge fan of video games because I suck at all of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love video games. And I love Jubilee's statement there. I also own an arcade cabinet for Marvel Superheroes, X-Men Children of the Atom, and The Punisher. So it really brought back some old arcade X-Men vibes for me as well. Also gave me some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time vibes. Really, really appreciated the arcade, the art style. From a video game purist and a guy who's all about, preservation of old video games, getting old video games out and making sure that they stay around and they stay here. I've got 19 games so far. I'm trying to collect an old NES collection that I had as a kid because I'm okay. Nice. Anyway, I loved it. Yes, they played on that heart. Oh, this will make Brandon drool, and it did, and it worked, and it, damn it, I'm cool with it. Life Death, what a completely opposite side of the coin. What a completely different mood and tone shift. It was jarring without a commercial break to just kind of jump right into that. I think that's my biggest nitpick about this, is because, hey, I love that it showed the range of this cartoon and this episode in particular. Love that. Just very jarring. Yeah. It was hard for me to, like, oh, Jubilee's making out and fireworks are going off. I wonder if other fireworks go off during things. Anyway, so I thought that was cool. Life death is very, very serious. The ending definitely had me shook. I am curious what they're going to do with Storm. The fact that this story is about you're more than your powers. You are more than what just your ability to control the forces. You are a strong, powerful person without that. And I love what they're trying to say here. And she's still not fully grasping that and understanding that. I like that. I like that this story is going to dive into that and see what it unfolds. And I really do. I want to believe this is real. I want to see what this happens. I want to see this creepy owl that kind of sounds like her. But it, you know,
yes,
yeah. Yes. Who knows? But I'm loving it.
Good catch.
I'm loving it. I think it's an absolute great show. Episode 4, thumbs up all the way. And this series so far, huge thumbs up. I think Keith said it best. This was my least favorite, but I really love this episode, and it's probably on the lower rung. So that just tells me how great the series is so far. And yeah, I think that's a good segue to Rotten Tomatoes, probably.
All right. Do you guys want to guess? Last week we were at 98%. Where are we at now?
Oh, shit.
I'm going to give it to you first, Brandon.
Keith, you said it was your least favorite. That makes me think it's going to drop down. And 98%, I can't see it sustaining that the whole time. Usually, you know what I mean? Like, it's when you first see a huge Marvel movie come out and it's like 98%, 99%. And then by the time you see it, it's like 93%. I'm going to go 96%.
All right.
Oh, well, hold on. Keith's going to guess.
Say 97.
All right.
How did I not figure that shit out? Damn it, Keith. That's brilliant. Sorry. 97. That's good.
Critic score for Rotten Tomatoes stayed the same at 98%.
Holy
However,
shit.
Audiences
okay.
did go down 2% to 92.
Oh, so Ooh. Audiences were 94 last week. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Pretty.
IMDb, as a whole, the series has stayed at a 9.0, I think all 3 nights that we've recorded. However, this episode dropped to a 7.5.
Good
this
grief.
Episode specifically.
I really like this episode, but I get it. I mean, it's picking your least favorite child, I guess. I don't know. One's got to drop. just kidding. I only have one child, and he's my favorite. Okay. So that is awesome.
Well, and 90% of Google users like this show, which is down 1% from last week.
God, I come on and it's a downer. Shit.
But honestly, think about it. When has there ever been a show that has not gone down from the beginning? Like, it starts off really high, and correct. Then like Secret Invasion was like,
and this being, I believe, the only episode that seems to be a two-parter, I feel like it was the awkward storytelling. They were like, mm-hmm. oh, we don't really know where to fit this in, but we do want to have a Jubilee birthday episode. We do want to give the life-death story a bit more time. So it feels, even though it is a little disjointed, I'm glad they still did it this way, because, you know, maybe they can't do 11 episodes. I don't know.
I think in the bigger picture, when you watch the full series back to back to back, it would resonate a lot easier. I think when it's kind of just one episode a week, it's a little more jarring, you know, that. Mm-hmm. So I think in the greater narrative, it may be a little bit more palatable, this two-parter. Yeah.
I also think that if I had to watch a full episode of Motendo, I would be upset.
Ooh, okay. Well, Emmy.
It's not a big fan.
If I had to watch a whole episode of Emmy, I would be upset. Motendo is fucking fantastic. I loved it.
For exactly that long, and not a minute more.
I could have gone 2 more minutes, and I would have loved every second.
Okay.
Emmy, what were your thoughts on Mojo's character design? This is your first time seeing this character.
First time seeing him, but I remembered him. Remembered you bringing him up from a previous episode. There were a lot of things that I was like, Keith has brought this up. God, Keith is amazing.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'll tell my wife.
Hey, honey, I'm amazing. Shut up.
Yeah. I'm amazing. I was rewatching the Mojo of the original series. I did rewatch the Mojoverse episode from season 1, and when it was on the screen, my wife walked by, saw that character, and went and ran out of the room. So I was like, yeah, he's kind of gross. I get it. He gets a lot of close-ups. He wasn't nearly as creepy in this. I think they kind of made him a little, maybe a little more palatable for people.
Amy looks like
never
she's
showed
like,
him. Yeah. They never showed him shrink and grow from the fact that he feeds off ratings, which was dope. I thought that was cool as hell.
That was a cool touch, but I thought the creepiest part about him was that he had the wires that held his eyes open.
Yeah.
It's fitting for his character.
Clockwork Orange.
Like,
yeah.
Goodness. So, I have not seen that movie and I don't think I want to.
Can I ask a quick question? Who fucking dropped the Motindo at Jubilees? And why was she like, oh, fuck yeah, I'll play this? Like, what? Who? Emmy? Who did that?
I have an answer for this. Okay. I have an answer for this.
Okay. I genuinely had this question while I was watching it. So.
Okay. Well, I have an answer that's speculation.
Okay. That's what I expected.
This is a ploy from Magneto to get Jubilee to realize that she needs to move on, grow up. Video games are stupid.
So you think Mojo and Magneto worked in tandem to teach Jubilee that she needs to grow up and not have fun on her birthday?
It's not that she needs to not have fun on her birthday. It was that whole game was her going back and reliving those glory days. And like, even the older Jubilee says, like, you know, it's fun when you know how the story ends. It's fun. But like, you have to, I felt like the whole thing of the episode was like, all right, you're grown up now. Like, go out and go on.
Yeah.
You've done the free trial. Go out, pay taxes.
Jubilee, the older Jubilee, or I don't know if older is the right word for it, but definitely like the experienced
beta
gamer Jubilee said a really poignant, like, you know, life is all about the ups and the downs and not knowing what tomorrow brings. And sometimes that's pain. And sometimes that's the beauty of it. The beauty of a new day is not knowing. And she says it way more poignant. I wish I could have wrote that quote down, but it was really, really like, hey, this, you know, the ending of this, you know, all this, go out and find where you don't. It was. So I think that's a really good speculation to me. I think you're onto something there.
I think the, Roberto had a really good line similar to that as well, where he was saying something along the lines of, you got to grow up sometimes, otherwise reality is going to hit you like a brick or hit you in the face. And I like that line a lot, too.
I missed this whole fucking thing. I was like, video games, that was cool. Jesus Christ, guys, way to make me reflect on my life. I'm going to play Fortnite after this. I don't give a fuck. But still, I mean, jeez. It was, I think it was a cool story of both. Like, I really do. Like, have your fun, have a party. You know, you only live once, but also live, you know. And I thought that was a really cool. Once again, I thought the storytelling was fantastic. The extra life bit, I was a little confused because like he died. It was like game over or something like that. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, he's low on health. I'm like, no, he died. I watched
game
it.
Game over means over.
Yeah, exactly.
Finito.
Yeah. Now you
enter insert quarter.
Right. Mm-hmm. I never played one of those games where I got an extra life and I could hand it to somebody. It was usually mine. I was like, oh shit, I got an extra one. Sorry, dude. So.
But that was how it was like, because you had to put an extra quarter in to get extra life, and that thing looked like a coin.
It did.
Which could be.
But it was in the game.
The extra life. It was in the Ari.
It is. I'm nitpicking video games, but yeah, I still think he died, and then they were like, "No, he's just low," and I was like, "Oh, no." Anyway, but they shared that's what they taught you. X-Men, you play video games, you'll get a nice makeout session with some fireworks afterwards. So, yeah.
And I think that's what one of the takeaways from this episode in general is, not only for those Jubilee fans to have her kind of get a bit of an upgrade with not only her powers, you get to see that she's using like the spinny fireworks that turn into like a blades, which is awesome. But also it kind of furthers her relationship with Roberto and having a bit of a romance there. We don't know how long it'll last, but it's nice to see him used in more ways than just as a new Jubilee to the, you know, the inexperienced story arc.
Used in other ways made me teehee. But no, like that goes to my point. Whenever she's watching the beta Jubilee and she's like, oh my God, I can do that. Like, that was the point that Magneto was trying to make at the beginning of the episode.
Good point.
She's going to have more birthdays if she goes to the danger room and learns how to use her powers as well as she possibly can. I'm sorry. I'm right.
I
think you might be. I like that you're pointing out what Magneto said early on coming into play for her later on. I don't know if I believe that he is the reason she got sucked into Mojo World. But I do like the idea.
I think I love the point you both made there, but specifically, Keith, you brought it up initially. We saw
Yes! Yes!
You tacked on
in
Emmy.
Your feet!
Emmy, okay, so here's what Keith
such
did.
Such a tacker on
her. Whoa. Hold on. Emmy, you did the outline. Oh, excuse me. Keith, you did the outline. Emmy, you provided color to the painting, so I appreciate you both. You guys are perfect because, Keith, I really like what you said there about seeing Jubilee's powers that we hadn't seen before and her harnessing her powers. And then Emmy obviously saying, well, yeah, that even strengthens my argument. I feel like this is definitely Magneto. I think those are really, really well said points. That was something I had on the very little notes I took, like this mini notes I took, is Jubilee's powers. Like, we actually got to see them. Yeah. Be something beyond what we've seen previously in the previous comic and so far. So I fantastic points all around.
Because if you think about it, they've had 30 years since the original show. And the one thing that I remember joking about with my friends is that Cyclops is a square and Jubilee kind of sucks. And it was always like, you don't want her powers. She can go, that's it. So people made fun of that.
Except
4th
of July.
Years,
except 4th of
and
July.
And they listened.
Except for the 4th of July. That's when you want
her. Oh, yeah. She's a huge hit, especially on the and on the 1st of July up here. Huge.
And Boomsday.
And Boomsday. What?
It's not a thing anymore. We used to do Boomsday in Knoxville.
The fact that Keith was like, what?
and excuse me now? No. Boomsday. It was a huge, it was probably the best fireworks display I have ever seen in my life. And it was the first year that I moved to Knoxville, and it was the last one they ever did. They used to do it every year on the river in September. We had a big Boomsday festival.
That's awesome. But
apparently it was cool. Bleeding money.
I can't imagine why. I can't. Yeah. Sounds like a hit. All right.
I loved it.
Anything else on the Jubilee the impact episode, or are we ready to move on to life down?
No. Good Lord. Do you know me at all? I've not changed, Brandon. Yes, oh, I'm medicated now, but good
I
God.
I thought you would want to move on. I am so sorry.
Okay. Was that Marvel music new? At the very beginning of the episode,
yes.
Did they like 8-bit it? Okay, they did. They made it very 80s and put it into like 8-bit video game. Yeah.
The
okay.
Music in general in this show has been fucking stellar. I love the music in this show. And they did not hold back with showing some 90s techno and obviously doing like the X-Men theme in the video game, but with the old arcade game sound was awesome as well. Yeah, big fan.
Yeah, no, completely agree. I think one of my favorite Cyclops lines from this whole series so far happened in this episode when he called Beast the big blue Rogaine ad.
When did that happen?
What?
At the I very beginning.
The Discord. I didn't even see Cyclops.
I didn't either.
Not Cyclops. Sorry. Wolverine. Wolverine and Beast.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. Sorry. I was like, what? Cyclops was in this episode? Like, literally, I was drooling. I was like, I need to go back and watch my man.
I saw Jared had written that in the Discord, and I was like, shit, did I miss a joke? Fuck. But I was just distracted by Roberto calling her Jubes as a nickname.
Sounds a lot like pubes.
It does, doesn't it?
I think that's what Brandon just thought too.
I was thinking I've heard Jubes before, but I think it was a South Park Jubes. Reference. So we'll just keep it at that. So anyway,
I just connected some dots.
There you go. Right.
I don't have any dots to connect.
Not
but
my
I can
joke.
Connect
not my
imaginary
joke.
Ones.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone. That's their joke, not mine.
So this episode, 100%, I don't know if you guys have seen the new Jumanjis.
Oh, yes.
That's,
seen
that's
enough.
What it reminded me of. No, I know you said The Matrix, but...
No, I immediately went to the Jumanji movies as well.
Okay.
Take me back to the 90s one, the board game. I'm so much cooler with that, but yeah, definitely the video games. They're
the two new ones.
I haven't seen the second one. I've only seen the first one. And the first one was really good, so I need to check
it out.
It's
pretty good.
I haven't seen number two. What is it? What's the second one called? Next Level?
Call of the Wild.
Jumanji, nope. Call of the Wild?
That's what
that's wrong.
That's what they called me in high school.
Call I do Wild. Know that. That sounds like a subtitle. They called you Call
it's
of the
for,
Wild.
That's a Jim Carrey movie. Isn't that...
That's what
Ace
nature
Ventura,
calls.
Nature Calls.
Oh.
Jesus,
oh,
I mean,
okay.
Stop. No, that was me, myself, and Irene.
there is a movie called The Call of the Wild starring
Tim Allen,
Harrison Ford, and a St. Bernard.
That's
that
Jungle to Jungle.
CG.
I'm thinking Jungle. Shit. Man, we're off.
Oh, that's a good time. Jungle to Jungle with Tim Allen and Martin Short.
So good.
That's some good shit.
So good.
Yeah.
What is the second Jungle movie called?
Jungle Jumanji. Movie Jumanji.
It's called
okay,
Next
listen.
Level.
Okay. Next Level. All right. No. Okay. Here's another confusion that happens in my brain. Here, everybody, this is the weekly look at Emmy's brain. Okay.
So excited.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in Jumanji, the new Jumanji movies. He's also correct. In Jungle Cruise. They both start with J. They're both in the jungle, and mm-hmm. they are the same for me.
Is he not also in a movie called Journey to the Center of the Earth 2? And someone photoshopped all four of those movies. First, the two Jumanjis, that the Jungle Cruise and that. And he's wearing the exact same like tan yes. button-up kind of shirt. And someone yeah. was like, these are four separate movies. It's just like, oh, yeah, you must love just going to the jungle.
I have
seen The Rundown is another one that takes place in the Amazon. That's a good time.
Totally saw that, Keith. Holy shit. You just unlocked my brain. Yep.
With Stifler?
I don't know that I've seen that, but at all.
Yeah.
I think Hutcherson, also Cersei, is in Journey to the Center of the World, Earth Crust.
Yes.
What was it called?
Earth Crust. Yes. He's in Journey to the Center of the Earth World Crust, too. With Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah. Why am I hungry? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Earth-based.
Okay. Yummy.
Speaking of jungles, they also reference not only the episode from the first season called the Slave Island, when she talks about how her and Gambit and someone else is there and they're depowered and they had to deal with escaping that with no powers. And then also there's a level in the video game in the Savage Land where Sauron, yes. The green pterodactyl man, is the final boss, which is awesome. I would love to see him in a live action movie. Just a pterodactyl beast man would be so random. Just start an X-Men movie that way. The MCU should start an X-Men movie with them beating up a giant green pterodactyl man and not explain anything. Just be like, another mission. Let's go home.
Okay, I'm in on that. But you said his name is Sauron?
Yes.
Like Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Cool. All right.
Might have been from inspired by Tolkien.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think he means Smaug or Smaug.
Smaug.
There is, okay, so I did have the note that, yeah, you talked about Savage Land. We also talked about Spiral. She was in this episode for a split second as like the bug getter-outer. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, speaking of brain farts, Mojo is, he's talking about like, this is the big mind number. The video games are the next big mind number. I had a moment today where one of my students accused all of us teachers of brainwashing them, and he immediately opened his Chromebook, and I was like, we are not brainwashing you. That Chromebook is brainwashing you. And then the kid next to me, they started making a joke. And they were like, oh, yeah, TikTok is brainwashing us. And I was like, oh, my God. But it is.
How do I tell them?
It totally is.
They're going to make fun of me.
You guys think that it's a joke, but it is.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Since the beginning of time, TV, radio, any advertising, it has not been to TikTok. Anytime you turn on the TV, something is trying to, there's a reason why I'm willing to have diarrhea over Domino's pan pizza, because they fucking trick me every time with their fucking commercials. And I'm like, I gotta have it. I don't care what it does to me. Oh shit. I'm on the toilet for 3 days again. I'm just telling you, it's been happening way before TikTok. It'll happen way after TikTok. You know, it's just who is paying the money to control us. That's the question.
So. Can you imagine how big Mojo would have to get or would get if he was hooked up to TikTok?
Oh my God, he'd explode.
He would.
He'd explode.
He Boom. Would. Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah.
All right. I got two more points to make. First of all, I'll gut you in the reboot. Is that a line from Scream? I haven't seen Scream in a minute.
That's oddly specific. What made you think?
Sound familiar.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh. I feel like, spoiler alert for Scream, I feel like at the very end of Scream, there's the first Scream, there's a character that says something like, I'll get you in the next one or something, or I'll get, like, it's like a reference
that's,
to there being
that's War Machine. That's War Machine that was Terrence
next
Howard.
Next time, baby.
Maybe next time. Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, and then also, did you realize that the older Jubilee was voiced by a different actress?
No, I didn't. Was she the big comfy couch lady?
She was, the original Jubilee.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. That is awesome. That is fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
Good catch, Emmy. That's awesome.
Which again is kind of like a, it's like a send off of like a, all right, this is how things were, and now you are taking the reins. Go on,
yeah. Little bird, they're fly. Like, we are willing to admit that the canon main Jubilee should not be voiced by a white woman anymore, but this old one can have a send off. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Well said, Keith. White women, get your send off.
Get the hell out of here.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I like that message. Did we ever have her come
and,
up?
And that was Emmy's last note that she had. And I really like that you ended it there. I mean, I think that was great. You know, you said you had two more things, and white women send off. I love that we're closing the chapter right there. That is really, really strong. Good, strong messaging.
Speaking of life, death, this is part one.
Part one! Part one. Storm and Forge. And Forge is engorged with Storm, if you know what I mean. I mean, he feels a little like, what do I have to do to feel that hurricane? I don't know where I was going with that. So, yeah, I just feel like Forge is like, hey, he says all the right things. Even like when he fucks up, he says the right things. Like he's, do we think he's good? Emmy, you look like you're on the fence. Do you feel like Forge is going to fuck something up or what?
I don't feel like he seems creepy. And this is one time when I will not mock you when I say this, Brandon.
About time. That one time.
I especially in an animated show, I can suspend belief that time is working differently here. I think they've been in this bunker lodge thing for quite a bit longer than we think. It hasn't just been a day. They've been working on this, trying to do this. And we just haven't been privy to that.
For Sheezy.
Because otherwise, in order for him to say I love you, he would have to be a psychopath. Yeah. After meeting in a bar called Tequila Mockingbird.
Well,
and then taking her back to his lodge and just being like,
for bison chili,
I love you. No, they've shared many a meal together. They've been together for
I agree.
And I think it makes sense with Forge's the way he's going about the whole thing. It would make no sense if it was like, hey, I've known you for 10 minutes, but man, you have my full heart. By the way, I created this technology that will completely take away any mutant power. But besides that whole thing, I really dig you. You know,
it was a dark time. I just got back from NUMM. I made the wrong choice.
I can't remember.
Whoopsie-doo.
I can't remember what he said, but he was like, oh no, some other dude invented it. I just made sure it fucking worked. Like, I don't know how he's phrased it, but it was just like,
based off of his schematics or something. Yes,
exactly.
Some guy in Scotland made it.
Like, do you hear yourself? You're not helping it. You just basically...
Y'all are the ones that just said that he said all the right things. That sounds like a very not right thing for him to say.
No, I was more talking about...
That is something you said.
Sorry, but just to Keith's point, bison chili. I mean, come on. If that's not the right thing, I don't know what is.
Bison chili.
Why do you want to
eat
bison?
Made by a person with... Because they make great chili, Emmy. You got to keep up.
Emmy,
if they make
the
great
fuck?
Chili, why would you want to eat them?
What do you...
Huh?
Oh, my God.
Damn it, Emmy.
That was
you got two face plants.
Two face palms.
Yeah. I want to say, I always try to pick out one line that I really like from an episode. This show has
I'm quitting. This is the last show I'm ever doing. I thought I missed him, but then they made great chili. Fuck you, Emmy. God, that took me way longer than I'd care to admit to get. God. Sorry, Keith. I didn't mean
you're
to cut
dad,
you.
Just, your excuse.
I want to see just a standing upright bison just hovering over a big pot of chili and someone being going for a taste. And he's like, it's not ready yet.
I want to see
exactly
a bison.
What I was picturing.
I want to see a bison chili cook-off, but it's just bison's making chili. They're just like, all right, I've got a great recipe. Oh, but Dan over there's going, fuck Dan. You know him. He's an asshole. So, bison chili. That's great. Anyway,
Keith had a point.
Keith, what you got?
I think it was, when Forge was first introduced to us, which I can't remember if it was one episode or two now, but, we were talking about his powers. What are exactly his powers? And the fact that we get in this episode this awesome line for him explaining how it works. She says that what is it to have mutant powers, to make inventing so easy, kind of thing. And he says, I can get at parts of the brain that are normally dormant Yeah, sorry. That are normally dormant in humans.
Yep.
Draw unique connections, see how bits fit like a Rubik's Cube on constant autopilot. I love that imagery. Not only is it a callback to the 90s as well, and maybe the 80s a little bit, but the fact that it gives us a visual of how his brain works, that it's just constantly puzzle solving and figuring out solutions, is just, it's very cool. So I just love the writing of this show in general. That was a standout line.
Is it sad that while watching these shows, these episodes, I was like, are they going to make a good movie? Because I was like, this is all great stuff that I could see really being a strong movie. And I'm like, really?
It works really well in this, right? And you're right. Like getting your hopes up. I feel the same way.
Yeah. So I'm, if anything, this has got my hopes up in a weird way. It's also got me really worried because I'm like, don't use all the good ideas for this show. Like these could be really good movies too, if expounded upon, and they really could, as long as they have Sauron in there at the very beginning, just getting the shit punched out of them. So,
well, to me, they've introduced Beast in that post credit scene with from the Marvels. And yeah, they got Beast and Binary, and Binary might be part of the Star Jammers. Yeah, sorry, guys. Might be part of the Star Jammers. Binary might not even be an X-Men going forward. But Beast looks like Beast from this. And they're in space already. So they're already doing these out-of-world things that are going to be out there and strange. I think that we could easily be getting set up with, okay, here's where our characters are, that we are telling you a story about what happened to them in the 90s. Here's them now. And we'll get... kind of
shut the fuck up. I
think that would be
so
cool
happy.
As balls.
I would
show
be
us
so
what happened
happy.
Then.
Yeah. All right, Keith, thank you for my hopes officially way too high now. Fuck you. That was brilliant. I completely agree with that. That would be fucking amazing. So yeah, now Keith is responsible for when I'm let down with the movie. So just want to make sure that's
you can take out on him as well.
I will.
Whenever we record.
I will. Like, fuck you, Keith. Jesus.
Can I point out another thing that I saw in the background after Emmy goes?
Of course.
Saw Emmy raise her hand. I'm like,
I was just gonna say on the bingo boards, everybody, yes or no, are we gonna see some more X-Men in Deadpool? Do you think?
Yes.
Like, do you think that? And
yes.
Second question: do you think this is gonna connect to Deadpool in any way?
No.
I think Deadpool's highly going to be about killing off the Fox live action movies. I think that is what we will see, is references to them more so than new stuff.
Than new stuff. But okay. This is going to be kind of the future moving forward. Okay.
I completely agree with Keith's take there. I would say though, Emmy, that would be pretty awesome if you did integrate it, not in a full on, hey, this story, but just in a wink, wink, nod, nod. Like, weren't you a fucking, I think there's a way to do that very subtly that would still tie it together technically. And I'd like to see that. That would be pretty cool.
It would be pretty dope.
Yeah.
Okay. Keith had a point after.
I love the slow. We see a few pans across Forge's bulletin board or like cork board in his lab of photos of the X-Factor team, including Havoc, which is Cyclops's brother. We've got Quicksilver, Polaris, Wolfsbane, Multiple Man, and Strong Guy, which I think they named Strong Guy last and went home by five that day. And then there's a picture of Forge just chilling on a beach, shirtless, sexy as hell, chilling in the breeze, just modeling, I guess. Maybe he had a time after Vietnam where he was a model. It's so weird that he has a photo of himself. I just think it's really funny.
It's one of those romance novels, like Fabio style, like, he's missing a woman. He just needs a woman.
I don't know why, but I'm getting.
He's got a little captain in him.
Oh, nice. I got a little turned on too. That was weird. All right, Keith, leg down, sir. Leg down.
Sorry. It can do a perfect right angle.
It really was. I was pretty.
My leg.
Oh.
My God.
Do not watch the YouTube version. We were banned from this episode for that segment alone. So
it's not going to be up on YouTube long. I'll tell you that much.
Maybe I'm skipping ahead too much, but that owl moment, what the fuck? I don't know. I know that's skipping straight to the end. Maybe there's more probably to fill in between there, but that thing was like, what the fuck is happening? And Emmy brought it up during her, What's happening? I don't know right now. Like, is this another Emmy? Is this another Magneto thing? Is this another, like, what the fuck is happening? Is this all just like to teach the X-Men you're more than your powers, you're more than your video games, you are the X-Men? I don't know. What the fuck is happening? My brain, I can't comprehend. I'm operating off of too little sleep already. I don't need this shit.
I also already said that I have a mushy brain right now just because it's a hectic time of year for me. So, yeah, I fuck if I know is Keith, my answer to your question.
Keith, help us out. Fuck, what's going on?
In the Life Death comics run, there is a creature called the Adversary, and it does actually call itself that in this episode for just a quick moment, but it is a demon in the comic books. It's a demon that Forge conjured because he's not just a genius with tech. He also can do a little bit of some magic and sorcery. He conjures him back in the Vietnam War to help him get out of a jam, I'm pretty sure, and then now this version of it has Storm's voice, as I know, Brandon, you noticed that as well, which is this weird demonic kind of filter going on with it. So
right.
She saw this bird flying around in the episode where she lost her powers. She also had a flash of this demon's eyes really quickly in that episode as well. And I don't know what they're going to do with the storyline, if it's going to be like the comics at all or exactly like it anyways. But right now, it's anyone's guess what they're going to do next with the Adversary. Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I will say that. So
it was a nice little cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It was.
I did love the end.
It was scary.
And that's it. And that's it. Thanks for joining us. On this,
You know that's not it. You know I can't do that.
I'm just kidding. Amy, what you got?
I at the very beginning, whenever he says something about like, she's talking about how she misses having the wind in her hair, and he takes her on a horse ride,
and she gets the wind in her hair, and then almost fucking falls down a goddamn cliff. Sorry, what the fuck?
Nice little Giddy warning up. Would have been nice for that. However, at the very beginning, you don't see the bottom. And so I had pictured in my mind that she was riding him in his bionic arm and leg.
There was also way too...
Of course you did.
There was way too much of an uncomfortable crotch shot. I mean, I know it was his hands, but it was like, can we get off his dick, please? Like, really? Are we saying there's a half and half situation? I don't know what you're trying to say. Can we please stop? So anyway, maybe uncomfortable.
He has a bionic half a penis.
Half a dick. Half a bionic dick, man. Tell Could me. You, yeah, exactly. Talk about the dream right there.
Could help him aim. Who knows?
Oh, my God. You would never have to touch it. Just
crosshairs for the urinal. Perfect. From across the room.
Yeah, man. Just
that could be your mutant power.
Tucks itself back in and everything, man. Oh, that would be great. Oh my gosh, no more having to shake it. It would just go.
It's just this little tissue wiper comes out and just like it just dabs.
No, it dabs the tip or a little windshield wipers, like just like and just goes right back. Sign me up. I want this now. Damn it. Give me dick abilities.
Dick abilities.
Dick ability.
Trademark 2024. Dick abilities. Put that on a shirt and sell it, Emmy.
You did say Forge got engorged at the beginning of this episode.
Thank you. Someone called it out. Yeah. He was totally trying to get a piece of that storm.
Oh, really, really trying. And I was really, really, really going to be pissed if she like looked up at him and was like...
She slapped the shit out of him.
I was like, good on you, sis, because absolutely, like, that was weird. I'm sorry.
She like professed her look. Was it right when he professed her love, his love for her? He's like, I love you, and then smack.
But I thought it was around the time the collar was revealed. And she's like, motherfucker, you chose a thing that nullifies our powers. And he's like, oh, no, I just helped the guy. And by the way, I love you. Then smack, I thought.
Yes, but he just like said, like, even without powers, you are a goddess and like blah, 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 and all this. And it's just very, smarmy, I love you even though you're just a human. Like, it's just like the way that he was talking about it was just like, ugh, to me. Completely
uncharmed. Ick. You're uncharmed by
completely.
Forge.
It was an ick for me.
Forge would not get past the first round with Emmy.
I mean, he's very attractive, but yeah, he seems very slimy.
All right.
Did you say he did model?
Yeah.
Our models,
that beach photo.
Our models notoriously slimy.
Depends on the oil used.
You said he was attractive. I was responding to a different.
I saw how that could be misconstrued from a mile away, and I'm so glad that just happened. I got to witness all that. I was like, she's going to take that as slimy, and he's going to take it as model. Let's just let this marinate. Let's just see how it all unfolds. And it did.
Pass the oil.
I was like, this is going to be good. Let's just pause.
I want to be nice and slimy.
Hell yeah, model time.
For my goddess.
Time to slam it up.
Tickets to the Forge show.
Ready to get engorged, ladies? Anyway, sorry.
I'm glad that she didn't immediately just
she slapped the shit out of her.
Well, you know what? That makes everything better.
And I'll be honest with you.
I'm okay with it now.
I did expect that. I
kind of did too.
Yeah.
Because there is like a half second before you hear them.
Yeah. It's not picking up, but I'm gonna do it for you, Emmy. There you go. Yeah. So that Emmy did smack like 4 times, but her mic, it wasn't picking it up. So.
Can we just is it safe to say that this series has a lot of themes involving strong women and the men who try to puppet them in some way? Because it does happen in like 2 other episodes at least.
Yes.
Where there's this argument for the man being the one to try and tell them that they're powerful or tell them that they need to do this or need to do that, and then them breaking free of those things, those shackles, or throwing it right back in their face. I think that's kind of
just a big old bird,
kind of a running theme.
Yeah. This is actually X-Men 97, fuck the patriarchy. So,
that's what I'm saying.
We have entered the MCU, motherfuckers.
Fuck the patriarchy. Fuck the patriarchy.
I think they're saving Rogue's episode for later.
Because that's gonna be a good obvious one. That's good. That's gonna be a good one. Cannot wait for that.
Same.
And I love her voice. I love her. She sounds like Dolly Parton smoked a carton of cigarettes, and I love
right?
it. She sounds so good. I love her.
Her voice is definitely growing on me.
Oh, yeah.
While Gambit being Gambit, Emmy can't stand it because Emmy can't do the third person.
Yeah.
Rogue is growing on Emmy.
Yes.
And Emmy likes it.
Yeah. Gambit okay with that.
Yeah, okay. See, there it is. Yeah. Now, Rogue, when I was a kid, she grew on me too, if you know what I mean, because I used to watch. Yeah, I mean, watching those Saturday morning cartoons, is like, oh, is Rogue on? Hell yeah. Yeah, anyway, she was like, you know, cartoon crushes, they were real. They were a real thing.
So, yes.
Yeah, Rogue is one of them.
Eric, Prince Cornelius from Thumbelina. From Anastasia.
You're talking about Prince Eric from Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I slept when I went to Disney World, we were in a Little Mermaid room, and I slept next to a painting of Prince Eric. So I had
you showed me a picture of it, and I was like, that's the fucking dream.
I forgot about that. I forgot I showed it to you. I was like, my God, I had to stare at that. And I was like, Emmy would totally just like, she would wake up in the middle of a soaked bed, and it wouldn't be because of the ocean, I will tell you that.
Well, you showing me that picture was what made it click for me that I like men with their...
sleeves rolled up. And a little button action that's not all the way up. So
it all started with Prince Eric,
Loki,
and then Loki,
and then Moon Knight as
Dimitri.
Well,
Dimitri,
Moon Knight as well,
mm-hmm. Moon Knight,
Mr. Knight, I believe is what it was. He had the rolled up sleeves. So
I have that pop figurine.
Emmy, clean up a little bit on the side.
Sorry. Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's getting a little.
Sorry.
Getting a little drenched on your mic. It's starting to... No, that's not rain outside, kids.
My cartoon crush was always Gadget Hack Wrench from the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
What in the Canadian fuck is that?
It's the mouse character from Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Fucking yes, Keith! Holy shit! Hold on. I just bought Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers on the NES because I had it growing up. So fucking love Chip and Dale's. Oh, and he's in this. He's in that game. Holy shit. That's awesome. Good callback. Sorry. Anyway, video games.
Wait, was that? I'm sorry.
What?
Was that the one with the big glasses?
Like the goggles? No, that was...
No, you're thinking of Eggman from Sonic.
From Sonic?
The Dr. Robotnik.
There's a rat and a mouse that hang out with Chip and Dale, and she's the mouse.
She is pretty fine for a mouse. The blonde hair?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. She's...
Those little buck teeth.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, Lola Bunny from Space Jam.
I'm not gonna lie, that was one of mine. Okay,
Jesus, man,
they put tits on that bunny,
and everyone's like, "I want to be a bunny." Fuck, like, oh. Don't ever call me doll. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, I won't. It was, yeah. Anyway, yeah, man, they made cartoons way too sexy back in the day. Jasmine from Aladdin. Holy shit, that was
another one of mine. Oh, wow. I used to try to sew the red outfit because I loved it.
I was gonna say amazing. The scene with Jafar at the very end did something to me, and I was like, I don't know if this is gonna mess with my psyche when I'm older, but I was like into every bit of it. I was not thinking Jafar was bad at that point. I was like, all right, I see your motive. I get it.
You're into fashion. I see it.
You just want to match. That's all you want to do. I'm cool with it. So
anyway, fashion.
Okay. I have important points that I was going to get to.
Yes, important point time.
First of all, important points in time?
Important point time, because you said I had important points to get to.
To get to, yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. We talked about Forge's powers.
Yes.
Keith. He can also...
Rubik's Cube on autopilot. Yeah.
Yes. He can also travel forward in time 1 second at a time.
God damn it.
That is fucking brilliant, Emmy. That is fucking hilarious. Sorry. Slow applause for that one. That one was really good, actually.
I don't think you've listened to our last episode yet, but it was the whole point of discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, she kept getting me with that one.
Oh, my God. Well,
he can time travel, too!
I love that.
You can.
Listen to episode 3 if you haven't yet. I'm going to.
Yeah. All right, I'm glad that I got you. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, not having heard it last week. Yes. This is an actual serious point.
Uh-huh.
I teared up at her when she's pleading with the wind.
Mm.
Like, all those points when she's like...
Make me
a bird. I forget what she says.
So I can fly far, far away. God, make me into a bird so I can fly far, far away.
Oh, that's Forrest Gump. Wind, fuck. Sorry.
And,
I confused
the
two.
And the wind goes, new number, who dis?
Hey.
I'm just glad that she got her one superpower back, which is echo voice.
Mm.
Very exciting.
Oh, she's
crawling her way back.
She can also move forward in time.
Shut up. No, it's good the first time. Now I'm with Keith. Now I can understand it now. Oh,
we all have powers, guys.
Yeah, we just move forward. This podcast is magical. Oh, shit.
Sometimes I feel like I'm not synced up with you guys, so maybe that's my powers, that, like, you guys are... Maybe, no, you guys have powers, and I'm not special.
I always
You've
said,
been depowered.
We did the X-Men third class. Thing. Mine was I don't know what was my, I don't know, but I can collect belly button lint like really rad, so but,
oh yeah,
yeah. I can do legit, give me a clean t-shirt, I'm gonna have a lint full by the time. I don't know why my belly button's like bringing in here, but it's a power I have. And if X-Men were just really shitty at their powers, that's what mine would be. It'd just be like, hey, look, I've got belly button lint for days. I looked at the world record and thought, fuck, I could do that in a week. Like, that's seriously no joke. I could just be the world record holder, but I choose not to. I'm not trying to brag. I just don't want to be the fucking guy with belly button lint world record with his name.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the books for that.
I don't, but I know I could do it. I'm like, fuck the guy who owns that record. There's no way.
Double-edged sword.
He's like, I collected this for 10 years. I'm like, give me a year tops and I will get where you're at. Anyway.
My superpower is I can finish a sentence when you least expect it.
Whoa! Da, da, da! You weren't ready for that shit. I just want to like play a song. Like, yeah! Like, you know, the old CSI theme.
Yeah! Horatio style. I just don't have my aviators.
When you least expect it.
Yeah. Brandon, do you remember what my X-Men third class mutant ability was?
I remember it's really terrible. Can you elaborate? I know it's something that's bad.
I can grow hair really, really fast.
Yes.
Nice.
Yep. And I can like use hair from other parts of my body and like put it out in a different part of my body. So like
you have to retract it like from your head.
Yeah,
and it comes
like
out your
like
fingers?
A Play-Doh that's thing. Funny. Yeah. So, well, but it has really? To be a place where hair grows. So like I mean
Oh, you're limited like that?
Here and there. That's yep.
So the top of your feet just get the hair gets really long.
Mm-hmm.
But you're bald.
Yeah.
But man, those toes
quite
are hairy.
The image.
Fucking hairy toes for days.
I didn't want to sleep tonight.
Yeah. You know, I didn't want fuck sleeping, all right? Oh goodness. Sorry. Amy, important points. I'm so sorry.
That was the last of them.
Oh.
There's a line in here that says something about the perils of trusting those in Washington. It just needs
to
be said.
Hey. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He of all people should know. That's what she says. Yeah.
That's,
hell yeah.
That's what she said?
That's what she said.
Yeah. She literally said that.
That is what she said.
That's what we said.
Literally.
And that's what we said. Guys, this was
that's what I'm saying.
This was X-Men 97, episode 4. Happy to be back with my two besties. Guys, I've had an absolute fantastic time. Emmy, did you have a good time? You feeling good?
I had a fabulous time. I'm not going to lie. I like that the trio's back together. Keith and I have been doing a great time.
You guys have been wonderful. And you guys will still continue Daredevil. You'll continue to do Daredevil.
Just our thing. You're not allowed. You don't know the password.
I am not allowed, but you will still get the wonderful duo for Daredevil, and you'll get me sprinkled back in for X-Men and all MCU fun stuff moving forward. So, Keith? Sorry.
So far as I know, there's not a new episode of Daredevil coming out this week, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
It will probably be maybe next week. We're going to try our best.
All right.
Okay. Maybe next week. We're going to try our best.
Yeah.
That is our motto.
That is our motto. That's the Avengers motto right there. Keith.
I told Emmy last week that I would do the credits names for her.
Okay.
And so I'm just doing that now.
Oh, I did it. I did it, Keith, because I figured you forgot. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Right.
Yes.
That's my other superpower.
Before we get to our credits names.
Broken promises.
Yeah. Before we get to our credits names, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you like the show, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It really does go a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show. We do this for free. It's a labor of love. Quick way to really support the show, a real quick free way to support the show is just leaving a 5-star review, even a written one, letting us know what you think. It really does go along with helping us get more viewership on this beautiful podcast of ours. Also, as we said earlier, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, $1 every single month. If you want to just give a dollar to us and say, hey, like what you're doing, keep doing it, that's a great way to support the show. It keeps our lights on and our bills paid. Really, really appreciate that. And we're available on any and all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I don't even know if it's Twitter, X, Threads, whatever. Avengers Podcast, all one word. We are usually very responsive. Facebook, we have facebook.com/Avengers Podcast. We'd love to see you there. So really appreciate you tuning in. Now we're going to get to our credits names.
Okay, so our casting and dialogue coordinator, one of them, is Chloe. Look!
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you guys for keeping the ship afloat. Love you both. Seriously, you guys are fantastic. Love you guys. Love you. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Really appreciate you all as well. Keith, Emmy, any final words before we call it an evening?
I never have final words, and it's a thing I've learned about myself. But Emmy has something.
That's his X-Men third class party as well. Power as well. I don't have any final words. Fuck it.
He's got a lot of them. He can't just take all of them. As Brandon said at the beginning of the show, I feel like there are two kinds of people in this world. There are the kinds of people that will kick down a brick wall headfirst when they hear da 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 da, and then there's the people that will kick down a brick wall head first when they hear "Let's go, girls." Dun, 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 dun.
Nice. I just love the concept of kicking down a wall head first.
With your head. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's stupid.